Your mom loves a view. Your dad loves talking shop with the guys. Your cousin used to paint. Your uncle was a farmer, gardener, swimmer, dancer. Retirement and assisted living is not just about bingo. I'm your host, Valerie Lynn, and while I love a good game of bingo, this episode is about advocating for a more personal experience for your loved one. After all, senior living is home. Welcome to Desperately Seeking Senior Living, a podcast for sons, daughters, grandkids, and all caregivers who suddenly find themselves tangled in the search for senior living and care. If you like today's episode, don't forget to subscribe and check out our doable download in today's show notes for a printable summary of the show and a bonus tip. You're listening to our doable tips, short answers to your questions. Don't see your question listed? Send us a note. Then don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an answer. Hi, and welcome to the show. If you're a regular listener, you may have noticed a little change in our introduction. And I want to just take a moment before we start today's episode to give a huge shout out to Lisa from Tennessee. Lisa works in an assisted living and memory care community there, and she reached out to say that she loves the show, and in fact, she even made a change to how she works in her senior living community because of the show, which is so huge to me. I love hearing from our listeners how much the show has meant to them. But one of the things that she brought up was how the intro of the show only mentioned certain groups of caregivers. And she's right. So many people find themselves in this position of caregiver, not just sons and daughters and grandkids and spouses, but also nieces and nephews and cousins. One of my current clients is helping his cousin find assisted living. You could be even a neighbor. So I made a little change to the intro. And Lisa, I just want to thank you because you're absolutely right. Caregivers come in all different shapes and sizes and relationships. So thank you so much, Lisa. And if you're listening and you know you have a comment, a suggestion, or if there's a topic that you would love to hear more about, then please reach out. We'd love to hear from you. Okay, so let's get to today's topic, which I really love. And I'm actually really excited about. Now, if you live in a fairly populated area, it's very likely that you have more than one option for assisted living. But even if you don't have a lot of options, or if your finances have reduced those options, this episode is about how to make your search more personal, and not just the search, but the transition for your loved one moving into senior living more successful. So if you're in an area where there are a lot of options, then you might look at this episode as a way to help you decide which one is going to be the best fit based on their openness to be creative or based on the activities and the things that they already have in place. And if you don't have a lot of options, then hopefully you can get some ideas and tips from this episode to help you change the situation that you're presented with, or maybe the situation that you're already in. We're going to talk about teaching the senior living staff about the things that excite and bring joy to your loved one. And let me be very clear, what we're talking about today is not a magic pill. It's not going to guarantee that your mom or dad or cousin is going to move into assisted living with a smile on their face. Change is hard. But hopefully the ideas today help increase your chances for success. I also want to talk to those of you that are listening, like Lisa from Tennessee, who are currently working in senior living. And I'd love for you to think of this episode as a tool for asking questions of your residents and families to find out how you can make the caregiving experience a little more personal and enjoyable for your residents. Okay, so you've started your search, or maybe you're just thinking about that search, and you might be already feeling like so many other families that you're at the mercy of the system, of the senior living industry. And that's probably because you're overwhelmed. It's a big industry with so many variables. But some of my favorite stories have come from finding that thing, that activity that made this really difficult transition just a little easier. And I keep coming back to this word personal, because personal leads to fulfilling and joyful and purpose. So in this episode, we're talking about independent or assisted living. But don't worry, we're definitely going to talk about memory care next time. Memory care can be a little more challenging, but I believe this approach is so important for all settings. The examples for memory care are just a little different, a little more creative and detailed. So stay tuned for that episode. Okay, so I feel like in the first half of this episode, we've covered the why. Why I feel like it is so incredibly important to be talking about this today. So now let's get into some concrete examples. When you tour a retirement or assisted living community, you're going to be shown, or you should be shown, an activity calendar. When I worked in senior living, I would try to find out what your loved one liked before you came to tour. And I'd highlight the activity calendar so that you could easily share the calendar and point out to your mom or dad or grandpa that we had the things that they would enjoy. So here are a few things that you'll find often on that activity calendar. Bingo, of course. Gardening, musical entertainment, movies, happy hour for those that enjoy a glass of wine or a cold beer, baking, sewing, and art class. So you look at the activity calendar and you see all these activities, including the ones above, and you think, great, that works. My mom is going to love it here. Okay, but I don't want you to stop there. I want you to dig deeper. Let's take an example. Let's say that the community talks about their garden club and raised garden beds because your dad expressed that he loves gardening, or maybe you told them ahead of time that that's something he loves to do. Sounds great, right? Raised beds, a garden club, this is going to be amazing. They tell you that every resident gets their own area to garden, and you think, wow, my dad is going to love it here. But do they have any garden spots available right now? Will they have any spots available when your dad actually moves in? Are the current residents protective of the entire garden? How open are they to newcomers? And what does the community do to help introduce a new person to the club and make them feel comfortable? Now, your dad may be great at fitting in and making new friends. So maybe the most important question here is just the space. And if they say there's no garden space available right now, then what are they willing to do to make more room? Can the community add another area for gardening? Or is it going to be your dad bringing his plants and pots and you providing materials? Either way, digging deeper helps ensure that your expectations, your dad's expectations, and the community's are met. But of course, this isn't just about expectations. It's problem solving. I mean, how really disappointing would it have been if your dad moved in excited about this garden club and doing his own gardening, and there wasn't room for him. With these conversations and digging deeper, you can try to problem solve before move-in day. I was on a tour with a community who shared with us that a new resident loved to sew and was interested in starting a sewing club that they didn't have yet. So they made space for her sewing machines in one of their activity rooms. Another community had a room full of books, which you or I might call a library, but a librarian might call a mess. When they discovered a future resident was a librarian, they asked her if she'd like to organize their books, and she gladly accepted the challenge. Another community creates space, events, and classes for the artists that move in. Many times you'll tour a community and see really nice art hanging on the walls. Well, look closely for those artist signatures because they might just be residents of that community. And I love those communities whose walls are decorated with resident art. But what if what your loved one loves isn't on the activity calendar? I'll never forget a family that I worked with when I worked in senior living. The family was really worried about their mom and dad living home alone. Dad had fallen while pruning their fruit tree, which greatly diminished his ability to care for himself, and they could see that both their parents were really struggling. But their parents really wanted to continue living in their home, the house that their father designed and built. I spent weeks getting to know this incredible couple, spending time in their home, learning about their fears and about the things that they used to love. One of those things was Hawaii. They used to go every year on a big vacation until just a year or two earlier when the trip just became too much. So I decided that I was going to take them on a trip to Hawaii. Okay, not like an actual trip, but a creative trip. I worked with our chef to create a tropical-themed dinner, and we decorated one of our view apartments to resemble a tropical getaway. They had an amazing evening. They got to experience the community on their terms. And I have to say, I got something out of it too. It felt so good to see how happy they were. I believe that creativity in care is so incredibly important. If you don't see what your loved one used to do on that activity calendar, it doesn't mean it can't be done in some way, to some degree. And you can absolutely advocate and ask. And if the community isn't willing or able to get creative and collaborate with you, then maybe this isn't the right community for you. One of my favorite visits to a community was as they were getting ready for open mic night. That's right. They discovered that many of their residents were poets, storytellers, and singers. And so they created space for them. And not just for these open mic nights, but for other events too. And I will never forget the way they approached resident requests for the community. They introduced me to a resident as she came walking in with her dog. She had requested a dog park. And if you are hearing the surprise in my voice, it is because at that time I had not heard of a senior living community that had a dog park, an actual fenced-in dog park. I think since then I've seen one or two, so that is really great. But this was so surprising to me. What I loved even more was the staff's response to this request. The staff said, okay, if you can put together a plan and get a few estimates, we'll check it out. We'll see if it's something we can do. They were not only considering her request, but they were encouraging purpose. And she loved the challenge. She was so vibrant and full of life. And honestly, this community was one of the most vibrant and full of life communities that I had ever been to. And if you're listening You probably know who you are. And if you're that community, great job. And you may not be that specific one, but if your community is so full of life and purpose, then I just want to say thank you. Purpose. This is another word that I really love. And ageism. There's a word. There's a word that tells us that moving to senior living is the end of the road, that that's it, that the older we get, that we don't have purpose, that we can't have these things that we used to love. But there is a way. I believe that there is a way. So let's throw out the word ageism. Maybe this episode should be the P's to success, making it personal, finding your purpose, and then taking it one step further and advocating for it. Many families start this search for senior living, not just because of physical care needs, but because of the lack of social interaction. By advocating for the things your loved one used to love, but maybe they've lost their energy and purpose for, you not only help your mom or dad in this transition, but you're opening the door for the other residents, for the community itself to thrive. 99% of the families we've helped list guilt about the move and fear about the transition as their top worries. Why? Because your loved one does not want to move. And I'm sure we're going to feel the same way when we get there. No one wants to move. And maybe your loved one even made you promise that they could stay living in their homes. But sometimes a move is necessary. And if you're listening today and you're thinking, wow, I wish I would have heard this podcast a few years ago, or you're listening and you work in senior living and you wish your community was more full of life, it's never too late to start advocating. And hopefully this episode helps make it a little more doable. Today's episode is brought to you by ClearPath Senior Living Solutions. ClearPath helps families find assisted living, memory care, and other resources. Find our contact information in today's show notes. Check out this episode's doable download in show notes for details, including industry terms and definitions we discussed, as well as a bonus tip from our guest. Have questions or your own tips to share? Leave us a message. We'd love to hear from you. And until next time, make it doable.